Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And first of all, we are excited to be bringing gay news to our wonderful listeners. But before we dive into it, there is breaking news about something that's been around for a while. We'll get into that in just a few moments. But first of all, Sebastian, how was your weekend? How are you doing?
My weekend was very nice and easygoing. I did some groceries. I watched some movies. I finally saw The Lighthouse. Ooh. I watched Death Race 2000 yet again. What can I say? David Carradine is just a hilarious actor. And I rewatched Freddy Got Fingered. I don't know why I did that. It just felt right in the moment. And then I took a nap. It was a great Saturday. How about yourself?
Well, I joined the 50 bajillion other people and went to go see Wicked.
So, oh, why'd you do that?
You know, I read the book. And obviously, as a gay man, we are all pre-programmed at the point of coming out to have an obsession with Judy Garland. And anything and everything remotely related to her and her ruby slippers. I mean, we used the theft of the ruby slippers as a news story on this show. Like, it's, you know, we are definitely homosexuals. But no, I mean, the book was great. The book was adapted. So the book, Wicked, by Michael Maguire, I think it is. Actually, I have it right here.
Just, yes, you're showing it to me, yes.
I don't often have crops available, but yeah, Gregory Maguire, sorry, was his name. He wrote the book, I want to say about like 20-odd years ago. And the book is based on, obviously, the movie. And I believe The Wizard of Oz is actually based itself on a different book. So it's a book and a movie and a book, which then became a West End, very unbelievably successful West End play.
Okay.
I believe has even toured all over the place.
Are you talking about the book by W.H. Baum?
No, like, the book by Gregory Maguire called Wicked.
No, I know, but you're saying it was based on another book.
Then... Yeah. So the book Wicked. Okay, so the new movie Wicked is based on the Broadway adaptation of the book called Wicked, which is based on the movie The Wizard of Oz, which is based on, I believe, yet another book.
Yeah, you know that the book is more famous. Well, okay, whatever. It's fine. there's 30 adaptations of The Wizard of Oz that came out, and that's just the one that stuck.
Exactly. Okay. Well, anyway, I read the book. Very familiar with the soundtrack of the Broadway musical. I have not had the chance to go see it myself. I am letting the team down as a practicing homosexual. But yeah, so it meant a lot. But surprisingly, you must be familiar. Well, actually, you're not probably. But you may be familiar with Book Talk. Are you familiar with Book Talk, Sebastian?
No.
So for those, and I can't believe that there are people out here who aren't familiar with TikTok, but I'm sure some of you are not maybe familiar. But people have created these sort of enclaves, these communities or groupings where a lot of the same material seems to hit, you know, it's giving the Amazon viewers also liked, or people who bought this also bought, etc. It just feeds you similar things. And then BookTok is just an enclave, a grouping of folks who are all watching similar content.
Spelled T-O-K.
Exactly, i.e. TikTok, BookTok, etc. Anyway, that's a very brief synopsis of what BookTok is. It's a community on TikTok who are plugged into that content specifically. They have been issuing a bit of a word of warning.
No.
Gregory Maguire himself, the author of the book Wicked, has said, okay, guys, Ariana Grande, I'm not quoting directly, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially the movie, very family friendly. It's a lovely movie. Okay. Great little ditty to show the kids. It's a great movie. Recommend it. More musical forward than I was expecting, and maybe I should have expected more musical. Ariana Grande was brilliant, chef's kiss for everything she did. Cynthia was also incredible as well. Anyway, the point is, the author of the book has said, maybe don't give this one to your kids.
Okay.
Because the book is somewhat more raunchy than the West End play.
Okay.
And then the movie adaptation of the West End play. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the book Wicked, The Life and Times of the Wicked Witch of the West by Gregory Maguire does touch on adult themes.
Okay.
It does contain some raunchy content. I highly recommend that any of our wonderful adult listeners go and check that out. But of course, Wicked Mania, I saw Squishmallow plushies of it just today in Walmart, like those, okay. You know, those like bean baggy looking plushy things that are everywhere, the Squishmallows.
You have three in the basement.
I do have three in the basement. Yeah. That's accurate.
You have a Jigglypuff where the little curl on its forehead, the squishy, it feels really nice when you put your thumb in there. I don't know. It's like this like texture that just feels really nice. I don't know why I said that, but now it's been recorded for everyone.
Well, now everyone knows that you've been thumbing my clay fairy when no one's paying attention.
It's I like textures. Like, you know, if you go into a building with an elevator that hasn't been updated since the 80s and it has like those steel walls that look like alligator skin. Like that steel alligator skin.
And you run your nails over it and it goes...
I love that feeling. Yeah. A lot of the stuff you have in your basement, I'm just like touching the texture because you have weird textures in your basement. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. Actually, I watched a YouTube video about... it was a gay man who's an interior designer. This may shock some people. But he was talking about accent walls and bringing things forward. And I like textural elements and different, different materials. I like to have Anyway, sorry. I just had the gayest digression.
I don't mind interior decorating for sure. But you know that musical theater... gives me acid reflux.
Yeah, and Wicked very much is musical theater.
Yeah, so I would rather eat live cockroaches than see that. It's got nothing to do with the movie. Like, it looks fine. The story is probably fine. It's just, like, if it's musical theater as a musical genre. If the music were written by, I don't know, if it was written by Adele or by Bjork or something.
But like, not Sondheim.
No. It'd be sung by the various actors. Like, there's musicals that I like, but it's like The Wiz is funk and disco. Like, yeah. So it's or I don't know. There's musicals that are hard rock. I got no problem with that. It's specifically musical theater as a genre. It gives me acid reflux. I'm sorry. I would rather just lay down in the snow than listen to Sarah Brightman. What can I say?
That is tragic. But I mean, it does show our listening audience that not all the queer community is alike. Some of us despise musicals.
Oh, man. So. Yeah. The YouTube playlist of the year, my top choices were not the same as everyone else's top choices. Apparently, I listened to Hurry Up, We're Dreaming like a dozen times. I don't remember that. But yeah. Big fan of M83, apparently.
Quickly on from that, a lot of people have felt personally attacked by Spotify Wrapped this year. Uh-huh. I don't want to talk about it because every online source is talking about the same thing with Spotify Wrapped, but we're gonna move on. But I did find it interesting that not only Book Talk, who are book lovers, people in the publishing industry, other authors, who have these prominent personalities on Book Talk are all saying, like, look, it is a brilliant book. Recommend it. Adults should go and check it out. But the movie is being geared towards the widest audience possible. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've got squishy squishmallows of Glinda and Elphaba, you know, you're targeting that younger audience, but the book itself is not appropriate. So it was encouraging to see the author come out and say that. There is a critique of the publishers who are reissuing the book with Ariana Grande and Cynthia's, face from the new movie on the cover. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's like the movie is PG, but the book is not. And would an unwitting, gift buyer be like, oh, so-and-so loves that song on Wicked. Let's buy the book, encourage reading. I'm all for that, but maybe not this specific book. It is quite raunchy. And apparently it's near the start. The author was like, yeah, I put like raunchy stuff right at the start so that you know, so that you are prepared. I'm like, I appreciate that. I appreciate an author that's upfront and honest. He also did Confessions of an Ugly Stepsister and a few other books as well, if anyone wants to check them out. If you wanted to see Wicked, I mean, not you personally, Sebastian, but I know. Also, it is a testament to the love and devotion in my relationship with Jake, who feels about the same as you when it comes to musicals, came with me to go see the Wicked movie. So that's a good man that comes to go see Wicked. All right, Kuwait has banned Wicked for lesbian and gay portrayals.
I heard that, but there's nothing in the movie. It's just that the cast is almost entirely...
There's like three or four people. Jonathan Bailey, I believe, is openly gay now. There's a few others of them that are also openly gay. I think Cynthia, who plays Elphaba, I believe is queer. I need to double check that. Mm-hmm. It's a very like queer cast. It is a like the amount of resonance that Wicked has had in the queer community in the last 15, 20 years is significant. You know, it's like the songwriter in the YMCA of the Village People saying that the YMCA isn't gay. It's like, okay, well, maybe not explicitly, but Wicked is not explicitly queer, but it very much is culturally queer as heck. Oh, yeah. And in the movie, there is a dance scene and Jonathan Bailey's like patting people's heads in a charismatic way, and it's men and women, the other dancers. Like, yeah, there's no gay kiss. There's no, there's nothing really. But anyway, if you want to watch a good film, don't go to Kuwait because they won't allow that one or the Barbie movie. So neither of which can be viewed there. So moviegoers...
Are you going to go to Kuwait anyway?
No, because I was only going to go there to watch the Barbie movie and and Wicked, and I'm going to cancel all my plans. Sebastian, I wanted to ask you if you knew the breaking news... Oh. About the brick at Stonewall.
There's a specific brick at Stonewall?
There is a specific brick that I am thinking of from the Stonewall Inn. And it is now breaking news that the Stonewall Inn. Now, as you say, you know, there is a running joke that, of course, the Stonewall riots happened in, this is a real test of my general gay knowledge. I want to say 79 or 81. It's one or the other.
69.
Really? Was it 69?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Disco hadn't happened yet. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, there was a riot.
The nascent forms of disco were forming in the Southern Soul scene. But yeah, no, it's 69, yeah.
So there was a riot. People threw... Really, it was detritus off the street. There was bits of, you know, street furniture, as I think the phrase is, that got lobbed at the police. People say that the brick was thrown. Then there's a huge debate as to who threw the first brick, with various queer icons and trans icons.
Witnesses say the first person to throw a punch, which is the first person to shove, the first person to make physical contact with an officer was the bouncer. And they know who the bouncer was. And it was just this short-tempered butch lesbian who apparently everyone feared and respected. So there is sort of talk around. It's also a riot. Like, a riot does not happen because one person says something. A riot is a thing that happens because both sides refuse to de-escalate. So it's an organic thing that happens. You know, the whole crowd is... can get either the blame or the credit, depending on how you want to frame it.
I don't disagree, but there is, you must know that there has been a lively debate as to who threw that first brick. It's ridiculous. I think it's, not many people were there, and even less would have had insights into that. But there is a brick, and this particular brick from Stonewall Inn is going to the American LGBTQ plus Museum. It is that much closer to completion, apparently. It's in the New York Historical Auditorium. Oh, sorry, that's where the ceremony was, where they announced that they'll be finishing it up. They have a brick from Stonewall. It's going into the museum. That's about it. Well, anyway, we will be coming back just after this with more news not related to the Wicked movie or somebody who may or may not have thrown a brick at Stonewall. We actually have some interesting news out of Alberta. But first,
But
let's give you
first.
a let's give you a nice little amuse-bouche palate cleanser here. This is Concrete and Windows by Tina Daroca. We tend to feature Canadian musicians who are LGBTQ identified. Who is this? This is Concrete and Windows by Tina Daroca, and I will be back. We will be back. Both of us will be back just after this.
Turn off. myself to school. I'm not scared anymore. I can leave, turn on my heels. I'm not scared at all.
Hello and welcome back to CanQueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am still Sebastian.
And there has been an interesting pushback to the way that queer folks are trying to create a conversation around acceptance. Now, we know that hate crimes, violence are going up. There is a... I'm going to put my finger on it, Sebastian, and say that there is a cultural shift back against queer folks that's happening and has been happening for the last sort of couple of years, a bit of a shifting of attitudes. And we're seeing that crystallized in the Alberta, and we'll get to the Alberta story in just a few moments. But I wondered how closely, Sebastian, you have been following competitive soccer or football.
Not at all. I think I've mentioned before the only sports that I actually have any interest in is pro wrestling, which is really just theater, and professional tag, which is just professional parkour.
Yeah, you also watch professional parkour.
Yeah. I really do. It's great. Yeah. You just get
the tag element is just like an added bonus.
Yeah, you just watch skinny Europeans chasing each other over jungle gyms. It's great. It's really exciting. Anyway, sorry, go on.
So there has been a kerfuffle over at the English Premier League, which is a football league. It has all of the major big teams in it. I forgot the word team. That's how much of a sports person I am. Forgot the word team.
I think anyway, they're called clubs.
So there has been
context, though.
This is true. Yeah, this is true. So there are. There's been a couple of things. So Ipswich Town's Sam Morsi refused to wear a rainbow-coloured armband. The Manchester United defender Nasser Mazraoui also refused to wear a rainbow jacket. They both claimed religious reasons as being why they don't want it. But there has been an interesting article out where Xander Murray, who is Scotland's first openly gay professional football player. I was about to say he was a professional gay football player, but he doesn't just professionally play gay football. He plays all football. Anyway, semantics. He was talking about Stonewall, and Stonewall is the very large queer organization in the UK. I would compare it probably to a GAL here in Canada in terms of similar work and size. And what Stonewall does is they do the Rainbow Laces campaign, where people put rainbow laces on. But Xander Murray is essentially saying that, look, rainbow armbands, rainbow jackets, rainbow flags dotted around the corners of the pitch and here, there, and everywhere. Is that necessarily achieving the goal that we're trying to achieve, which is to have people, you know, take a moment to think about and address when they see it, moments of homophobia? Is a rainbow crosswalk going to encourage you to consider homophobic actions or not? You know what I mean? Or is there a different way that we can approach this? Now, Stonewall, for their part, says, look, we have done really well. There are, you know, they measured public opinion before, during, and after, and it's definitely having an impact. And people are feeling generally more comfortable going to these football games, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that even as the queer community, we do need to occasionally stop and think, is this tactic, is this approach the one that is a rainbow armband the solution to homophobia in sports? Or is there something else that we can be doing? I don't know, Sebastian, what do you think?
This is an old, old debate. And this is something that you and I have brought up. Well, I mean, I brought it up a few times over the past 14 years, 15 years of us doing this. That I have very parenthetic support for the idea of poster campaigns and yelling things that rhyme. Poster campaigns and things like putting rainbow flags on everything, really all it does is it reaffirms what people already believe. You're not really selling anything. And then yelling things that rhyme, you can actually alienate people a little bit. So I think both of them have their place, though. So reaffirming actually is a useful tool. So the classic example is, you know, having institutional support, knowing that if you are LGBT and you come out, that you're going to be safe if you're in a school, for example, that people there actually care, that you're not going to be put in harm's way by coming out. And in terms of cheering things that rhyme, I genuinely believe that the way to go is to make an argument, you know, state your case, be consistent, be reasonable, be logical, say, these are the reasons why I want you to believe what I believe. Print those on a paper, put them in a briefcase, dress nicely, and go talk to somebody in authority. And if they refuse to meet with you, get some friends together and cheer things that rhyme. So it's a matter of, like, you're not listening. We're going to start cheering things that rhyme. If they are listening, show up with a briefcase. So I have a very, I think there's a time and a place for it. And I think it may have been overused for a while where people are cheering things that rhyme. And it's like, look, you have a captive audience. They're willing to sit down with you. Just show up with a briefcase.
I am glad that you specified that sometimes showing up with a briefcase does not work.
And sometimes they won't listen. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that right now in the States, the issue of, for example, just trans access to washrooms mm-hmm. has become so locked in for both political party that they are not hearing anything from either side.
Yeah, the what I'm hearing and seeing from the right side of the aisle is basically sticking their fingers in their ears and going la la la, and from the left aisle is, do it because if you don't, you're transphobic. And it's like, but okay, then they're just going to be like, okay, well then yeah, I'm transphobic. Like, that's not convincing anyone of everything. You're just calling them a name. Like, if you don't agree with us, we're going to call you a name. And then they'll go, okay, well, call us the name then. Like, you're not convincing.
They didn't just stop there. They jumped up and down and said things that rhyme. Specifically, they had a dance party in the washrooms in the Capitol.
In D.C., yeah.
In Washington, D.C., as part of a protest about the sex-assigned allocation of washrooms in Washington, D.C. This is a story that happened a couple of weeks ago. There is an openly trans elected member of Congress. I don't know how she navigates the washroom rules that the Republican Party rolled out. Republicans who were behind the move have said, yeah, absolutely, we were inspired by the fact that there is a trans Congress member. Like, yeah, this is
but
both
every
a general
time,
political point and targeted.
Every time a law like this is passed, regardless, so if it's, well, I mean, I'm not going to say regardless because that's not entirely true if you look at places, you know, as we mentioned Kuwait earlier, but like definitely the US, Canada, England, parts of Europe, whenever anybody passes a law that says you use your, the sex assigned at birth bathroom, regardless of your status as a trans person or gender nonconforming or whatever, they all put that exception in, which is if it's a single use bathroom, nobody cares. And Washington is covered in single use bathrooms. There's fewer of them, granted, and you might have to go out of your way for them. But to be honest, if you're a backbencher, you're probably already shoved off into the corner near the single use bathrooms anyway. I mean, I would like to confirm that before I make that guess, but still, there are single-use bathrooms in the building. And is it fair to force people to walk that far? I mean, I saw Hidden Figures as well. If you remember that movie. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge scene in there about having to walk to another building just to go to the bathroom. And